The question today is, when did Jesus pay our sin debt? The Scripture tells us He did pay our sin debt, and we know that, or at least I hope you know that. The Bible says in Romans chapter 5, verse number 8, that God commended His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. In other words, when we were engaged in sin by choice against the Holy God, still God loved us and died for us. The little word for means in our stead, in our place. That's why we talk about the vicarious death of the Lord. That means He died in our place. He took my cross. He took my sin and paid my sin debt. The Bible said also in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 21, "For He hath made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him." In other words, Jesus had to go to the cross, die in our place, pay our sin debt, or else we would not be able to suffer the bliss and glory of eternal life with Him forevermore. And so therefore, He paid our sin debt. He died for our sin. Now, we know that if we go back and look at His life, of course, He lived a sinless life that qualified Him to pay our sin debt. He was virgin born. That qualified Him as to be our sin bearer. He was the Lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. And in other words, that's true. But yet He had to die on the cross of Calvary in my place and suffer my wrath, suffer my hell, if you please. Now, Jesus faced our sins, my sins, in the Garden of Gethsemane after the night before. The night before He died, there He faced our sins after He had the Last Supper, ate the Last Supper with His disciples, and Judas went out to betray Him. He left and went to the Garden of Gethsemane, where He'd often prayed, and the Bible talks about how that many times as He prayed there, He was there, and of course He'd been there before, but He left His disciples, some of them inside the gate. And then He carried some of them a little further, three of them, Peter, James, and John, the inner circle. And they was inner circle because of the fact they drew nigh to the Lord. And therefore, there wasn't any partiality shown, but still, they were the inner circle. But yet, they even went to sleep. But Jesus went further, about a stone's cast further, out in the garden and fell on His face. The Bible said in Matthew 26, 38 and 39, and He said, "Then saith He unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me." And He went a little further and fell on His face and prayed, saying, "O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as Thou wilt." In other words, as he's looked at the cup, that a man who had no sin, had never had any sin touch his body, touch his lips, touch even his heart, if that is the case was. But here he is looking at the cup of the dregs of sin of all mankind, that's all with a cup that's running over, that he's going to have to face on the Calvary. In other words, that was going to be poured up on him. And so when he prayed, "Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me," he's not trying to get out of the cross, because that's why he came. He came to die in our place. He came to pay our sin debt. But what he's saying is, if it be possible for Edgar Lee Pascal to be saved any other way than for me to have to drink of the sins, his sins, then let it pass. But in the same voice, he knew it wasn't possible, and he said, "Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." Of course, we know that as he prayed there three times, came back, the disciples were asleep. Then we find, as Judas had betrayed him, the Sanhedrin, of course, came. The Roman soldiers came, and they arrested him in the garden. He had an illegal trial by the Sanhedrin court, which is the Jewish people who had really given Rome the authority by Rome to deal with certain problems among the Jewish people. The Sanhedrin was, and it was all unlawful because it was at nighttime. But yet, there after daylight came, they couldn't find any witnesses that even agreed. I'm talking about false witnesses, couldn't even agree. But finally, they turned him over to Pilate to be crucified, is what they wanted done with him. And Pilate had a trial, more or less, and questioned him, and he yet said, "I can find no fault with this man. What do you want me to do with him?" But first he said, "Let's release Barabbas," is what he really wanted to do. He wanted to release Jesus, is what he wanted to do, excuse me. But yet the people said, "Release Barabbas, a thief, a murderer, a seditionist." And yet they said, "What do with Christ?" And he said, "Crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. Well, of course, they went through their procedure of a cat of nine tails or whatever kind of whipping he may have had, placing up on his head a crown of thorns platted out from a thorn bush. And he was lost a lot of blood at that time, but he was carried out. He carried his own cross for a ways, and then one Simon of Cyrene was made to bear his cross out to a hill called Calvary, Golgotha, place of the skull, there outside the gate in the northern place of the city. And there he was. He was nailed to a cross. He gave himself. He lay himself down. But as he went there to that cross and nailed to that cross, oh, what pain and agony as every bone was pulled out of joint as he was hung on that cross suspended between heaven and earth. The Bible talks about how what pain he endured. And we sometimes, that's the main pain we think about, is the physical pain. But while he endured that pain, he looked down at the crowd that were there. And he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what to do. You realize something, as he prayed to the Father, he was saying he was still in the relationship of the Father. He had not yet taken my place completely. I know he went to that cross, there's the physical suffering, but he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what to do. And shows his compassion, shows his long-suffering, shows his goodness to us. Because, see, we're guilty of nailing Jesus to the cross. We're guilty of murder, if you please. And therefore, no murder is going to enter into heaven. You've got to be saved by grace through faith. And that's because of the finished work of Jesus on the cross of Calvary there that day. And so, therefore, he's in a relationship. Now, about 12 o'clock that day, and of course, some other things transpired. We'll deal with that more on other questions here on Ask the Pastor. But at about 12 o'clock that day, and we discussed it in the last couple of broadcasts that we have said that he died on Wednesday, and that was April the 14th. But about 12 o'clock that day, on that Wednesday, April the 14th, darkness came upon all the town. A darkness you could feel. It was a thick darkness, in other words. And that was when my sin was placed upon him. He was separated from the Father. Now, God didn't turn his back upon him, as we sometimes say. He was separated from him. But God didn't turn his back upon his only begotten Son. Because the Bible said in Isaiah 53, verse 11, the prophecy of Isaiah about the cross, he said, talking about God, he shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. So God didn't turn his back on his only begotten Son at that time. But he was separated from God because of the fact he took my place. He's taking my place there on that cross. Now, we know that almost 3 hours went by. Nothing was said that's recorded. We don't know what was said. No doubt there was something probably said, but probably an awesomeness was up on the place because of the thick darkness. But yet, we know that after 3 hours, he come to a time, or almost after 3 hours, close to 3 o'clock in the afternoon, I'll put it that way, he made the statement, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? You notice, he didn't pray, Father. He said, my God. In other words, he's taking our place. And there, as he cried that, he also, right after he cried that, he cried, I thirst. What he was experiencing was the thirst of hell, a thirst that the rich man suffered when he was in Luke 16, when he was woke up in hell. The Bible says there was a gulf between Abraham's bosom where Lazarus was and where the rich man was. And he said, he cried out to Father Abraham to send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in this flame. And so therefore, Jesus is crying out while he hung on the cross. He's suffering the flames of hell. And he paid my sin debt, my hell, my wrath, while he hung on that cross. I'm talking about for all eternity he paid that in that period of 3 hours while he hung on that cross by a miracle of God that I don't understand and I can't explain. But he paid that there on that cross. And then, of course, he cried to Tetelestai, or it is finished. In other words, the work's completely done. And then he came back into a relationship with the Father because he said the last thing he said while hanging on that cross about 3 o'clock that afternoon on Wednesday, April the 14th. He said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. He dismissed his own spirit, but notice he's now back into a relationship with his Father. He had been separated for about 3 hours, and during that 3 hour time, he paid my sin debt. He paid my hell. He paid my eternal wrath, and yours too, if you'll trust Jesus as your Lord. And therefore, he paid that while hanging on that cross. So the question is, when did Jesus pay our sin debt? He paid it while hanging on the cross. Now, I know that some people say, well, Jesus went to hell for 3 days and three nights, because then they use the scripture in the book of Acts, chapter number 2, where Peter on the day of Pentecost, and he's quoting, really, Psalms, chapter number 16, verse number 10, as he makes this statement, and David is the psalmist who said this, "For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine holy one to see corruption." Now, in Acts chapter 2, verse number 27, we find that Peter's quoting that, as he said, "Because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine holy one to see corruption." Then he goes on in talking in the next few verses about David writing this prophecy, and therefore verse 31 again says of Acts 2, "He, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ." You see, Peter even put the fact that what David was saying in Psalm 16:10 as that dealing with the Messiah. In other words, and he said there in verse 31, "He, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption." Now, that brings on more questions, which we'll have to answer in detail at a later time. But I want to tell you, Jesus did not go to the burning compartment of hell in Hades. Hades is the Greek word. Sheol is the Old Testament Hebrew word that contained two compartments in Old Testament time. Luke 16 brings that out. And as a result, we know that the man dies without being saved. He enters immediately into hell or the burning compartment of Hades in the Old Testament time. And then there is also Abraham's bosom in the Old Testament time. That's a compartment which is bliss and eternal joy, which is really paradise. Because did not Jesus tell the thief on the cross, "Today shalt thou be with me in paradise"? Therefore, when Jesus died on the cross, he went to paradise to be with the thief, like he had promised him. He'll never promise anything he'll not fulfill. And that was Abraham's bosom. Later, we know that paradise was emptied by Jesus, and he led captivity captive and carried paradise into third heaven. And now, in the heart of the earth, all that's there is a burning compartment. It's hell. And we need to understand that. We need to rightly divide the scripture in that. So, when the question is, when did Jesus pay my sin debt? He paid it while hanging on the cross of Calvary, during that space of 3 hours where he suffered my eternal wrath, my eternal hell. And he did it because he loved me and he loved you. And he'll pay yours if you'll come to him by grace through faith. You'll find it's already paid. And he'll put your sin on his account and his righteousness on your account. And you'll live with him forevermore. He didn't do it those 3 days and nights in the heart of the earth. He did it while hanging on the cross. This is Edgar Lee Pascal, host of Ask the Pastor, saying good day to you until we meet again on the air or in the air. May the good Lord bless you is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.